Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Keith Reynolds of Dogman.com with Scott Eklund. Big recruiting weekend starting Saturday morning. Several walk-ons in town, a couple of committed players, one uncommitted player, isn't it, Scott?
From a scholarship standpoint, there's actually two uncommitted players that are coming in.
That's right. We'll break that all down and talk a little bit about the recruiting weekend coming up. Weather-wise in Seattle, for those out of town, it's just... it looks like the rain in the forecast for the next 30 days. So not the best weather, but is what it is. That's what you get in late January. But Scott, first of all, let's talk about some of the walk-ons that are going to be coming in. These are preferred walk-ons, which means they bypass the normal requirements of UW to get into school. They can qualify with the NCAA minimums like the rest, but some added benefits. They can also show up to a camp earlier than the non-preferred walk-ons, and just because they are on campus and they have the preferred walk-on offer doesn't mean they're coming to UW. But taking a look at that list, Scott, of guys that they've offered the preferred walk-ons slots, any of them really jump out at you? If they could grab, would be an absolute steal.
Well, I think both of the defensive back. Well, okay, there's three defensive backs, but the two that I really like are the two local guys: Kaysen Kinchin out of Lake Stevens, Lamar Campbell out of Sumner. Lamar Campbell was playing at, I believe, River Ridge is where he was playing last year, and he transferred into Sumner. And basically took over a starting gig and never let go of it. Came out, really played well. He's 6'1", 175 pounds, could play safety, probably will play corner at the next level. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Kaysen Kinchin, really sticky cover guy, 5'11". He's on the smaller side, 165 pounds, so he needs to put on a little bit of size. But these are both guys who I could see down the road earning scholarships. Now, that being said, with the way Washington recruits defensive backs, at least the way they did under Jimmy Lake, and I don't feel that's probably ever going to change as long as Jimmy Lake is here, whether it's as a head coach or the DB coach, he's going to recruit the secondary really well. So are they going to have enough spots to give scholarships to guys? We'll have to wait and see. But both of those guys like them a lot. And then Meki Pei, a guy from Hawaii who doesn't have all the measurables you're looking for, but he's got all of the intangibles. He's smart. He's instinctive. He was the defensive MVP of the Polynesian Bowl. He's about 5'9". I think one's, where is he? Actually, we've got him listed at 6'180", so we'll just go with 6'180". I think he's a little smaller than that, but just really instinctive, knows how to play in space, really aggressive, and I think Washington's got a great shot with him.
But the guy that really kind of sticks out, I think that most people, that follow recruiting have probably heard from, the name Kaysen Kinchin. He had some early offers and those seem to have dried up. Sounds a little bit like Miles Bryant.
Yeah, could be. Although, from what I'm aware of, the UCLA offer was still committable for Miles Bryant. Maybe we could say he's like a lot of other guys who just have waited a little too long to make their decisions and lost out on opportunities, and Washington could be the benefactor of that. We'll have to wait and see. Kaysen Kinchin is a very talented kid, very, very instinctive. His father, I believe, is one of the coaches up there at Lake Stevens, so he's got that mind. He's been around the game for a long time, and those always seem to do really well once they get into college because they just understand the game a lot better than guys who might be great athletes but maybe not quite as instinctive.
Of all the walk-ons that are on that list, Scott, I think the guy that they have the best shot on with the preferred walk-on to be able to do it is also a kid out of Lake Stevens in Logan Bruce. And local kid, really smart kid, has an offer from Air Force. You don't get offers from Air Force unless you're top-notch, high-quality kid, definitely an OKG. Real strong family ties, good family up here, too. Do you know much about Logan Bruce?
I do. I've seen him play several times and saw him at a couple camps as well. Really nice kid. Like you said, Kim, very smart. Honestly, was a little surprised they didn't offer a Braden Belmer out of Puyallup because they're almost the same kind of guy. And I think you couldn't go wrong either way. I think Braden Belmer might have played a little bit been a little bit better as a high school player. But remember, Washington's trying to project 3-4 years down the road. And what will Logan Bruce be 3-4 years down the road compared to Braden Belmer? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, Bruce is 6'5", 300 pounds. He can play some tackle. My guess is he'd be a right tackle at the next level or a right guard. So we'll just have to wait. But he's got the smarts to play center. So, you know, I think you're just going to have to wait and see how it develops. But he's another guy that Washington could easily get and slide in there in the rotation eventually at some point. And then Christian Galvin, the running back out of Bothell, like him a lot, have liked him for a long time if he was just a little bit bigger. I think this is a guy who would be playing at a school like Boise State or New Mexico or UNLV. But because he isn't the biggest guy in the world, we've got him listed at 5'9", 180, and I think that's very generous on the height. The weight might be pretty close, but I think he's more like 5'7", or 5'6". He's on the smaller side, and if he's listening to this, don't kill me. But he's a really good kid, smart, and very instinctive runner. And then I guess we can mention the last guy on this list that's a possible walk-on, and that's Josiah Nicolau. And he's a 6'2", 300-pounder out of Bellarmine Prep. That's down there in Tacoma. From everything that I'm aware of, it's basically just a matter of him enjoying his time because he really wanted to commit to Washington before he even took his visit. 6'2", 300 pounds, defensive tackle. I think he's more of a zero or a one tech at the next level, you know, over the nose. And very tough to move off the line of scrimmage. Can get a little bit of penetration for you, but his job is to stuff the run and take up blockers so guys can run free.
And just a little bit of info, preferred walk-ons. They can get in with the NCAA minimums. They can bypass. I mean, if you're not a preferred walk-on, you have to meet the UW requirements to get into the university, which is extremely tough. And there is a limit on how many they can take. And it's not a limit for the football program. It's a limit for the university. Trying to get an answer of what that number is, I've never been able to get a real number on that because it just depends on who's taking what. But they have only so many slots, and that has to cover football, basketball, everything, gymnastics, softball. Has to cover all of those sports. And then in addition, there's a lot more, they're taking a harder look at what these kids are because of the scandals down at USC and UCLA, where they were using the preferred walk-on program to circumvent the admission standards down there. People who weren't even doing the sport were being admitted as the preferred walk-on and taking those slots, and they never even participated in the sports. So a lot more attention being paid to the admissions on that. So it's not like they can take a ton of guys. There is a limit, and those numbers are distributed throughout the athletic program at the school. So you can't just take 20 preferred walk-ons.
You know, off the top of my head, I want to say Washington had somewhere between 10 and 15 on the roster last year, and one of them got a scholarship offer, and they've had a lot of guys. Every time I do an update on a walk-on, either, you know, signing on or whatever, I always talk about who has become a scholarship player after being a walk-on. The latest was Adefawan Ulufosio, who got a scholarship, I think it was back in December, you know, for the winter quarter. And that was pretty exciting. It was early January, I think, is when he got it, and at a team meeting. And but they've all, you know, Miles Bryant has earned a scholarship. Josiah Bronson, John Clark, those are all guys who've earned scholarships at one point or another. Peyton Henry, I think, is the next guy that will probably get a scholarship at some point.
Isn't he? I think he's on scholarship, Scott.
Maybe he is. I I thought that I had, you know what, you're right. He did get one. That's my mistake. So, you know, I don't know who the next one would be. Maybe a guy like Race Porter, who's their holder and who, you know, who does some punting. He only had a few attempts last year, but, you know, there's some other guys that I think are in line to possibly earn scholarships at some point, but we'll just have to wait and see.
First of all, you're going to get ripped by those on the on Twitter, on social media for making a mistake.
Yeah, they can suck it, so yeah. It's fine.
And the other thing is, a lot of the time you'll see the seniors get awarded the scholarship if there's room available. Yeah. It's rare that UW starts the season and they're full 85. It always seems to be one or two below that with it. Attrition and injuries. So
yeah, and I think you're going to see some attrition. I think I can think of like four or five guys who probably won't be here either at the start of spring ball or by the start of fall camp. So just kind of be interesting to keep an eye on who ends up leaving and how that impacts the depth. I don't think it'll impact it too much, but you just never know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Take a look at the story that Chris Fetters has. It's on the front page or slightly down a little bit where we stand on scholarships right now. Right now, if you take who's currently on scholarship and the commitments that they currently have, they're at 85. So a couple of guys in this weekend, if they take one or two more, they'll need one or two more guys with attrition. So it just depends on what they're anticipating. But a couple of the guys that I've already committed in town. You've got Mark Redmond, the tight end out of Newport Beach. You've got Ethan Garbers, the quarterback, also out of Newport Beach. And then the new name, Nick San, is it Sani or Sani?
I think it's Sani.
Nick Sani, the tight end of Modesto. We'll talk about him as well as Tanoa Togiai. But Nick Sani out of Central Catholic. When I first saw that, I thought he was from Central Catholic down in the Oregon area, but it's actually in Modesto, California. And he was just offered a scholarship. Was it last night by UW, Scott?
Yeah, late last night, actually in the middle of the basketball game.
How many times have we said that, you know, as far as we know, that there's only one or two guys on the board, but we always think that there's a guy we don't know about. So this looks to be the guy we didn't know about. That looks like they may have been trying to keep him under wraps.
Yeah, talking to some people for a little while over the holidays, and they said the two guys they're really waiting on are Jack Gary and Tanoa Togiai. But they said there's at least three or four other guys that they could possibly bring in that they've been recruiting pretty hard, and we'll just have to wait and see. Well, I do know that Sani had been on their radar at least for the last, I want to say about month, and they'd been just kind of eyeing him, keeping an eye on his film, vetting him and doing all the things. And I think have we decided if it's Cato or Cato? Durham Cato?
It's Cato.
Yeah, Durham Cato. Went down and watched him practice, or I guess practice, run routes, do whatever on Thursday, and then called him and made him an offer. And sounds like Washington really liked him a lot, and they wanted to get him up for a visit this weekend. Now, my guess is I know for a fact that Yeri has not told Washington that he is for sure not coming. I think that he's still talking to them quite a bit and still very interested in the University of Washington. But Washington wants to bring in three guys at the tight end position, and they're not going to be left with, you know, their pants caught down if Yeri doesn't commit. And so they're going to make sure they have a guy I don't want to call it on the back burner, but a guy ready to go if Yeri doesn't make the call. And I think that this is a guy that Washington likes a lot because he's a really good blocker. He's 6'6", he's 245 pounds, he's big. He isn't super athletic, he isn't going to blow you away with his athleticism. He's, as Brandon Huffman said, he's not the most natural pass catcher in the world, but he's a talented kid, and I think Washington sees him as a guy that, hey, he might not be a guy who catches 40, 50 balls for us, But what he's going to do is help us in the running game, and that's what we need more of, is help in the running game and making sure those edges are secure.
Well, you take a look at, you know, the trend that we're starting to see with the use of tight ends, and you take a look at what Seattle has in George Fant, and he's a big guy. He plays tight end, but he's not a guy who's going to go out in pass patterns a lot. He's not going to be a primary target. He's not going to catch a bunch of balls, but he's back there, you know, like a fullback. He's an extra tackle. And, you know, you get this kid up to, you know, 245 pounds in high school, I don't think it's difficult to project him putting on 25 pounds, and he can be that blocking tight end, act as, you know, line him up on the line. He's an extra offensive lineman and move him all around. But, you know, the thing of it is, if he was 6'3", 210, 220, it's different. But this kid's 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'6". He's a good-sized kid. So
even if we're off by an inch, Kim, that's still 6'5".
Yeah,
he's still plenty tall enough.
Yeah, he's a big kid. And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, we've seen scenarios in the past where, you know, they're going to take Jack Yuri no matter what. That's
yes.
A kid. The offer's on the table. Whenever he wants to commit, they would take it. You know, and they may have some kind of an agreement with this kid, you know, just, hey, if you commit and we're able to get Yuri, we may want you to redshirt, possibly gray shirt, and enroll in December, get bigger, stronger, faster. I'm not saying that's a scenario, but that's something I could see as well. But nothing wrong with having the insurance policy. And like I said, the kid kind of intrigues me. You know, some of the posters on the board makes me absolutely crazy. They don't know nothing about him, and they just look at the offers, and that's fine. And they don't think he's that good of a player just based upon the offers. Well, there are guys that slide under the radar, but this kid, like I said, the size intrigues me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I guess, you know, Durham Cato hasn't done anything to earn my trust in him, but he hasn't done anything to not earn my trust. So, I say it over and over, their salary is based on them finding the best guys they can to come in and play. And if they don't get enough of those guys that are going to be difference makers, they're going to be not earning their salary anymore. So I'm willing to just trust that the coaches know what they're doing. And why don't we wait until and see the results before we worry about what this is going, what this means?
If you take the recruiting class, you know, you rate it 1 to 24, 1 to 25. And you take the last guy on the bottom that you're going to take a chance on. You know, this looks like a kid that you, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the last guy in your class being a guy that you project, and it's either, you know, high upside, high risk, high reward, but he's got the size, you know, and that's the big thing. And taking a chance on a guy with size, I have no issue with that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. And some people are just going to see the negative in it. And I don't, you know, I tend to be kind of negative at times, pessimistic, I guess is a better way of putting it. I tend to be a little bit more pessimistic about stuff, but stuff like this, I'm like, I don't know enough about this kid to say one way or the other, you know, how good he is or how bad he is. So,
and you can't just base it on the offers.
No. Some kids get overlooked. Some guys develop late. There's lots of different reasons why guys, don't end up getting offered. And sometimes schools just don't need a lot of tight ends. I think more and more offenses are using tight ends, so that might not necessarily be in play anymore. But yeah, none of us really know that much about this kid, so let's just kind of wait and see what he can do.
Well, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of the story of James Atoh. And it's a kid that they had in camp, and they liked him a lot, and he's out of the Dalles. Nobody goes to the Dalles down in Oregon to recruit guys. They were going to offer him, but they know the minute they offer a guy who doesn't have any offers, the offers start coming in, and they kept recruiting him, and they kept on telling him it was coming, it was coming, it was coming, and they never offered him. And, you know, Sark said his head was on a swivel, and Dan Cazzetto, you know, the head was on the swivel all the time wondering, is anybody going to offer this guy? Because the minute an offer would come in for James, they were going to offer him. They offered him the last weekend and brought him in on the last weekend so nobody else could get after him. You know, and James Atoh was a good player here. He started a lot of games, and yeah, they took a risk on him, but remember how big he was?
Hold on. Did he really start a lot of games?
Yeah. No, he was a full starter for his full senior year.
Okay.
And he started probably about half his junior year.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, what was he, 6'7", 340?
Yeah, he was huge. I know that.
Really, and he was a good run blocker. Struggled a little bit in pass pro, but he had the intangibles that you're looking for. But he played quite a bit at University of Washington. But, you know, you take a risk on a guy. Not like I said, if it's the 25th guy you're taking in the class, I don't have an issue with, you know, grabbing a guy, especially if it's a tight end who's 6'6" and 245.
And I fully agree with that sentiment. If this is one of the last guys you take in the class, don't worry about it. Let the coaches try and develop someone.
Tanoa Togiai. Tell people about Tanoa Togiai out of Rigby, Idaho. I don't even know where Rigby, Idaho is.
You know what? I'm trying to think of it off of the top of my head. I think that it's over, you know, I'd have to look it up, but I think it's just out. I don't think it's very far outside of Boise, but I could be wrong on that. I'd have to look it up. But basically, he's a huge kid. He's almost 6'6", and he's 285, I think, in that range, and just a really big guy, very athletic for a guy his size. I mean, you just don't see a lot of guys his size being able to move like he does. And you know, he's a player that Washington has been recruiting for a little while. They've known about him. I mean, Ikaika Malloy has probably known this kid for over 3 years because of where the kid lives. And you know, Ikaika was recruiting that area and everything like that. So Washington likes him as a defensive end in their program, that they can put out on the edge and be a strong side defensive end and really hold things tight. The thing about Togiai is he definitely wants to take his mission. At least that's what he's telling everybody right now. That can always change, but he wants to take his LDS mission. He's Mormon. So even if they get him today, they won't see him for probably a couple of years. And if that's the case, then, you know, Washington really, they're still really not bringing in anybody in the 2020 recruiting class to play defensive line, and hopefully that doesn't hurt them down the road. I think if guys develop like they think they're going to, it won't really hurt them very much. But that also leaves a very small margin for next year, because you have to bring in three or four guys, and one of those guys is JT Tuimoloau. So, but I'm getting off the subject. Tanoa Togiai is a talented kid. He's struggled with some injuries, and he's been more of a basketball player for a long time. So this is a guy that Washington may need to work a lot with before they really get him in the system, you know, before he can really do very much for them. But he's got a lot of great tools to work with. Like I said, size, like I said, athleticism. And, you know, Washington likes their guys big and long on the end, and that's exactly what this guy has.
I hit my mute button.
Oh, okay.
As gotcha. I coughed, okay. It wouldn't come back on.
Okay.
A little bit of news out within the conference outside of Washington. Former Washington GA, really highly thought of, Gerald Alexander, the defensive backs coach, secondary coach down at Cal, who a lot of people thought would take Jimmy Lake's place on the defensive side of the ball, and a lot of rumors that he may be returning to Washington. Accepted a job for the Miami Dolphins. He's probably the best recruiter at Cal. That is a big hit for Cal.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. He's, like you said, a really good recruiter. He's a really good developer of talent. And it'll be interesting to see who Justin Wilcox goes after to take his place. You know, is there a chance that Terrence Brown could get hired as that guy? I don't think so, but Who knows? You know, I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts. And this is a situation where hopefully – for Justin Wilcox's sake, because we like Justin Wilcox. He was up here. We know a lot of people in that program down there at Cal. So, other than playing Washington, I don't want Cal to struggle. Hopefully for Justin Wilcox's sake, he kind of had an idea that Gerald was going to at least look at some other opportunities out there, and he was doing some networking at the coaching convention, which just ended about a week and a half ago. So, you know, I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. So, don't be surprised if he hires somebody that's got some Washington ties somewhere along the line. So
it wouldn't surprise me. Do you think, what about Keith, Hayward?
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Because Keith Hayward right now shares that spot, the secondary spot with Dante Williams.
Williams, at Oregon, yeah.
At Oregon, and Justin Wilcox has worked with Keith Hayward, and they like each other quite a bit. They worked here up at the University of Washington and also down at USC.
Yeah, interesting name. Keep an eye on. Definitely something to keep an eye on, and I know people hate it when we talk about Oregon, but you know what? Auburn, Alabama, they keep an eye on each other. Same thing, Oregon and Washington, keeping an eye on each other. So anything else in recruiting we got to talk about, Scott?
Not a lot. I expect at least a couple visits next weekend at the University of Washington. Most likely going to be preferred walk-ons. There's another one that just got an offer, and because I can't pull up our site, I can't remember his name, but he's out of Saguaro. Just got offered the other day at the preferred walk-on, I should say. He knows Jacoby Covington. He's a guy who he told me that Washington is a school that he really wanted an offer from, and he's pretty excited about it, and said it was too late for him to be able to get up this weekend, so he's looking at coming in next weekend. I would expect maybe a couple more guys, and you never know, there could be another scholarship guy that comes in on an official visit, so just keep your eyes peeled for stuff like that. Other than that, we're going to wrap things up on February 5th, and then we're fully into the 2021 recruiting cycle, even though we're kind of already into it quite a bit. But I'll be doing player evals. I'll be doing big boards, things like that. So just keep an eye out for that.
Scott Eklund already working on our second signing day, which is February 4th. So stay tuned.
February 5th.
And we'll be rocking and rolling all before that. So always a lot. It never slows down, Scott. It's always
going. It doesn't. And it's fun. And also exhausting at times. So,
yeah.
Is anyone going to feel sorry for us, Kim, covering recruiting and football?
Oh, no. I mean, Chris and I are single guys. I mean, we do our own schedule, but you're married with two kids, and kids tend to commit when you have a dinner engagement with your wife and the kids are all dressed up, and then all hell breaks loose every time. So, hey, from all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Reynolds along with Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.